That was the background information. Now we'll get into the questions on the Three Mile Island incident.
Okay.
Now try to put yourself back to right after it happened.
To the first time I found out about
it's just all ended. And so now I'm going to be asking you questions about that time period.
It has just ended.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
The crisis is over.
The crisis is over. Okay.
So, since we're trying to get responses as you would have felt then, rather than as you feel now, your opinions may have changed over time.
Okay. In other words, you want me to try to go back to, like, the second week or the third week?
Yeah.
Okay, because I personally do not feel the crisis is over.
Okay. Fine.
But if you want me to go back to 3 weeks after March the 28th, mm-hmm. I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did you first hear about the Three Mile Island incident?
I heard about it at 6:45 Wednesday evening, March the 28th.
Wow. That's precise.
It's precise because I was at another counselor's home and we were working on a project. And her son called her, who is in college at Georgetown. Mm-hmm. He called from Washington to ask her about the emergency, the accident and the emergency and the crisis. And we were unaware of any crisis or accident mm-hmm. at that point. So after talking to her son for 5 or 10 minutes, I then called my sister, who lives in Harrisburg, and who always was fearful of Three Mile Island. So I knew if anything had happened, she would know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I called her, and she was quite upset at the moment. And then the next thing we did was turn on the TV to get the 7 o'clock news.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the sequence has stayed very vividly in my mind, because it happened precisely like that.
What did you think about at that point, that initial point when you heard about it?
At that point, I was afraid. At thinking of what the worst might be, but I also tried to be objective about it and rational and wait until I got more information.
Mm-hmm.
And even the information I got on the 7 o'clock news, and of course for the next weeks ahead, especially the next week ahead, the news was always, I thought, sometimes the news was vague, or I would find out an hour later or a day later that it had been inaccurate,
mm-hmm.
or in some cases exaggerated or not.
Yeah.
Exaggerated in one direction or the other, if MedEd would minimize it, and then perhaps somebody else would make it exaggerated, too exaggerated. So I was fearful at the time because I just don't know what the potential is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not sure what the worst is that could have happened. So I was afraid because of that, because of the unknowns,
mm-hmm.
because there was so much I didn't know, which continued. That same feeling continued through the whole thing, an ignorance and knowing that I was in the dark as far as I caught this enemy. Was. It's like an enemy, but it's on scene.
Yeah.
It's on scene. So the whole time I felt rather helpless, powerless and helpless and ignorant of the facts. But I didn't feel panic-stricken. In fact, there was a point where I felt panicky, but that was not. At that point, I was afraid, but I wanted to get information.
Mm-hmm.
I was determined to get information. I was, at that point, I was very personally concerned about my sister because she is more emotional than I am.
Yeah.
And I was concerned at what her reaction would be at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I was anxious to get home.
Mm-hmm. So where did you seek out further information?
I got information on the 7 o'clock news, and then I left. I was in Mechanicsburg. I left Mechanicsburg and went to my sister's and got tidbits of flash news bulletins from the TV, and then I heard from my sister that there was going to be an emergency meeting of alert.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it was not called TMI alert, but now it's known as TMI alert, which is an anti-nuclear power group in Harrisburg, and I heard she told me there was going to be a meeting of that group. that evening at the Quaker Meeting House in Harrisburg. So I went to that meeting, went to the Quaker Meeting House that evening, and just as I got there, the meeting had ended. So I then went with the group to the governor's mansion, and they were staging a candlelight vigil. And within about a half an hour, they had a brief meeting with the governor, who was gracious and courteous enough to appear, come outside and meet with them and assure them that there was no problem. Everything was under control. But I got some information from that group.
Was there any particular source that you trusted more than another?
Probably the one person who impressed me the most, and I lost his name for a minute, would be Harold Denton, the President Carter's representative of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. He would be the single most trusted person, and this symbol, you know, would symbolize a source, a trustworthy source. I have no faith, not an ounce of trust in Metropolitan Edison or GPU.
Why is that?
Because, first of all, I mean, just in general, if nothing had happened, you know, I would assume that they have a vested interest. So obviously anything that they're going to say is going to be biased, and just the fact that they're spending now thousands, when they don't even have it, on a PR services to improve their name, leads me to believe that the thing they're interested in first is making profits, making a lot of money, making profits, and the next thing they're interested in is convincing the public of their good image. And the last thing they're concerned about way down the line is the safety of running a good plant. I don't think they proved to me, through their whole mishandling of this whole thing, that they have very little interest in safety standards. And worst of all, and the most aggravating thing to me, is that they have very little concern about my safety. If they're not interested in running a safe plant, then they have no regard for my life and the millions of other lives in the greater Harrisburg area, or anywhere they happen to be. But they value profits, they value dollars much, much more than they value human life and animal life and plant life. I thought the news media, to speak to that side, I think they did a fairly good job. Some people have rated them very poorly, and I think they tried to do a fairly decent job. I think at the time I was most impressed with NBC's coverage, but I'm not sure now. But I was more in tune with their coverage than the other two networks. But I think it was NBC. And I think the news media, some people tend to think that they exaggerated, they over-dramatized it, they did this and they did that. But I think they did a fairly accurate job of presenting the day-to-day facts.
So you trusted them as well?
I trusted them somewhat. I trusted them somewhat, but of course I was very skeptical of some of the things they reported. Some of the things when they report that MetEd said such and such, you know, I was very skeptical of some of the sources of their news.
But when the sources relied to government information and Howard Denton, you trusted them more.
Yeah, I trusted, for some reason, Harold Denton seemed to be very professional, very knowledgeable, very candid, and very capable in his handling of all aspects of the emergency and the crisis.
Did you talk about the incident with your friends and coworkers?
Friends and coworkers here, or friends anywhere and coworkers
here? Friends anywhere,
here?
Coworkers here.
Yeah, I probably discussed it more with friends and family. It was the topic. It was the topic of the hour. I was very, very concerned. I had a lot of anxieties. I had a lot of fears. I had a lot of doubts. And I tend to express them. And my family was just as concerned. You know, to them, it was a definite crisis. It wasn't a case of not being concerned. We left that weekend. We left the area where many of my neighbors stayed.
Yeah.
And some friends stayed, and just, it didn't bother them. But it was, my family and friends talked about it a lot, and it came to be a much talked about topic here by Friday. It was barely discussed Thursday, the day after it was announced. But by Friday, it was a much talked about topic here. And then, of course, Monday, when we were on standby as to whether or not we were going to be an evacuation center.
Yeah.
So, yes, I talked about it a lot.
You said you packed up and left.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of things did you pack?
Well, that's a good question. I packed enough necessities, such as clothing and so forth, for 3 or 4 or 5 days. And I took my animals with me. I have 2 dogs and a cat, and I never take my cat anywhere. So I packed up my cat and took my 2 dogs with me and went with my family to Arlington, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But I took only the bare necessities. I didn't go to the bank, for instance, and empty my safety deposit box of valuable papers and so forth. I took bare minimum.
Were you expecting to come back?
Yeah, I was hoping to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What did you think about other people's reactions to it?
I found some people to be in harmony. Their reactions were in harmony with mine, so I found that to be very nice. That made me feel real good to have company. I guess there were several other groups. The group of people who did not see it as a genuine emergency kind of boggled my mind. I couldn't understand how they could not see the seriousness of it all. But then I understood because that group trusts the establishment, government officials, elected officials, corporate officials. They evidently, see them as father figures and have unquestionable faith in them. So I could understand why they would think that way, feel that way. If they see them that way. I do not trust government officials and corporate officials.
Mm-hmm.
And I did trust them. I did have some trust in them. I had more trust before TMI. Of course, that trust has been shaken, was probably started being chipped away during the Vietnam era. Mm-hmm. And then through Watergate, more trust eroded. And now, after TMI, when I analyze myself, when I think about how I feel and try to analyze how I evaluate how I feel about them, I probably am at my low point.
Yeah.
At the low point in my life of trusting, having trust in officials, public officials.
But you haven't reached the point where you discount everything they say.
No, I don't discount, but I question every single thing I hear.
So you evaluate it against your own knowledge and... Other than leaving, did you make any plans different from what you ordinarily would have made?
Yes. I returned Sunday because I knew everybody else would be at work on Monday since they were 20 miles away, and I knew they would be here. So my sister stayed in Virginia, but my brother-in-law, who works in Columbia, returned, and I returned. And I made plans Sunday night to stay in Carlisle Monday and Tuesday in Cape, because I still did not know what the state of affairs was and whether or not it would be safe to stay in Harrisburg within the 10-mile radius. So I made a second set of plans to stay in Carlisle.
In what other ways did it change your ordinary routine?
During that time or after that?
Well, during and after.
Well, I guess it would have somewhat changed my routine in gathering news.
Mm-hmm.
I very conscientiously got newspapers. I usually relied upon the evening news and the Patriot in Harrisburg, and I found myself buying the New York Times and the Washington Post,
mm-hmm.
and listening to news on the major networks 2, 3, 4 times a day,
yeah.
5 times a day. So I spent more time watching TV, listening to the radio, and reading newspapers.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Did you have any mental pictures of what was happening at TMI? Or what might happen?
Before I watched Saturday Night Live or afterwards?
Oh, no. All right, before and then after.
I didn't have any mental pictures before, but I had some neat copied mental pictures after. No, I couldn't really conceive of the bubble. I mean, I read the diagrams. I looked at the diagrams. But I have no idea what's going on down there, what went on, what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
I have no conception. I have no idea what a reactor looks like inside or what goes on. That's
mm-hmm.
part of the thing that bothers me.
Which is just the lack of knowledge, your
mm-hmm.
own lack of knowledge.
Being so unfamiliar, the whole idea is just completely alien to me.
Mm-hmm.
If a flood hit, or an earthquake, or a fire, you know, I could picture water rising in a river, or something causing an explosion, but this, I still, it's hard for me to articulate. It's just, everything about it
mm-hmm.
is everything about the mechanical workings, the technical workings of a nuclear power plant are still hard for me to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have any mental pictures of what was going on down there. Except maybe in the beginning, I pictured panic.
Mm-hmm.
I pictured people running around, not knowing what to do next. I may have had that picture in mind.
Was this the people down at TMI
mm-hmm.
or the populace?
People, the staff at
mm-hmm.
TMI.
Do you think that anything that happened at TMI might have affected your health?
Possibly.
In what way?
I'm not convinced that there was not a dangerous level of radiation that was emitted. So there is that possibility that enough radiation was produced that I don't worry about probably myself so much. I fear some people may contract cancer.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of the radiation. I don't feel that so much so, though, for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Why would you feel it less so for yourself?
Because I was most of the time I was 20 miles, at least 10 miles away from the plant.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. But I have friends who live within the 5-mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern would be more so for them, their horses,
mm-hmm.
and all the strangers who live within a 0 to 5 mile radius.
Mm-hmm. Is there any particular type of cancer?
I don't know. You're going to catch me. I haven't done my homework.
Okay.
I would be guessing leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Would it affect them in any other ways besides cancer?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think there could be other effects, but I don't know what they are.
What other aspects of your life might have been affected other than health?
Financial. I own a home in Harrisburg.
Mm.
If the worst had happened, my only investment in the world would have been destroyed, would have meant a total loss to me. Everything I own is in that house
mm-hmm.
in Harrisburg. So if we would have had to evacuate, let's say, a 20 or 30 mile radius permanently, until forever, I would have been wiped out
mm-hmm.
financially. As it stands, it meant some expenditures for me, some unforeseen expenditures that I was not, that would be written off as losses, you mm-hmm. know, I was not reimbursed for. Traveling expenses, high telephone bills, and other miscellaneous things. So it meant additional expenses for me for mm-hmm. the month, for the immediate 30 days. But it affected other people much more financially. Psychologically, that would probably be the most significant way I was affected. Psychologically. Through the tension,
mm-hmm.
stress.
Do you think the community may have been affected in any other ways besides ways that you've mentioned for yourself?
I don't know if this would be sociologically or not. I think it created a division among people, between the believers and the non-believers, the people who believed that everything was under control,
okay.
and the people who did not believe mm-hmm. everything that was under control. And I found, and maybe this will come out in your report, and you can analyze it and voice it better than I can, but I found that TMI was pushed back in the shadows, and TMI became secondary, and the clash between the believers and the disbelievers
mm-hmm.
became the primary force after a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a split between the ranks, and there was antagonism and hostility.
Did you experience much of that? The antagonism?
No, not really. I avoided it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than get into something, I avoided it. But I sensed it. It was there.
Yeah. Do you know other people who did get involved in it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What worried you the most?
My safety. The effect that it might have on my health and safety, and the effect that it would have on my loved ones next, and then on people in general.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting the straight story in time to do something, too.
Yeah.
That goes along with that. I worried that I might not know in time to take certain steps.
So that's why you were following the news so closely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've mentioned a couple times the worst. What is the worst?
I don't know.
Do you have any conception of what it could have been?
No. Nope. I don't. The worst example that I know of is the example of the account of the accident that took place in Russia. But I've only gotten that through hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
I only read maybe one account of that. But that's, you know, from hearsay, I know that there was an accident and an area was abandoned. I don't forget what it is now. Maybe a 50-mile radius. I'm not sure on the figures,
mm-hmm.
on the miles. But a large area that would be similar in size to this, to the 10-mile radius of Three Mile Island, was completely destroyed in Russia by a nuclear accident about 10 years ago. And I think, and here again, I wouldn't swear to it, but I think around 200 people were killed in that accident. So that kind of was the only thing that I could think of. The worst to me would mean that the area, a 10-mile or 20-mile radius, would have been exposed to so much radiation that all life would cease. And if you ran from the area, you wouldn't be able to come back.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I thought of as the worst. But I was very, very hopeful that that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how the people in Russia were killed?
No.
Just that about 200 died?
Yeah. And now I haven't even talked about that for so long. That's it's been close to 2 months, and I haven't investigated since. And I'm real shaky. Don't repeat my my facts, because I don't know.
Okay.
They could be far from accurate.
Mm-hmm. What effects of radiation? What did you picture in your mind any other effects of radiation on life around you? We've mentioned the people and community, but what about other types of life, say plant life, animal life?
Oh, yes. What was the question?
Did you picture in your mind any other effects of radiation on life around you?
Yeah, I could picture it affecting the marine life in the river, the animal life, large animals in the immediate area, horses, cows, pets. Since I'm a pet owner, it's not just about pets. So I could picture it affecting pets, plant life.
And how would it affected it?
In some adverse way, but there again, I'm very general.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be specific. At the worst, through ultimately ending up in death.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I can remember the first week thinking that my friend's horses would die.
Yeah.
I remember having that thought.
Would that be from the radiation?
Mm-hmm. They stood, for the first 4 or 5 days, they stood out in the field about a mile and a half from Three Mile Island. So I remember thinking, what if they die?
Mm-hmm.
What if they receive so much radiation that they die? That'll be terrible.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that those in charge were in control of the situation?
No.
You never did?
No. I guess for a day or two, I thought they were. And then as more and more and more truthful accounting, or as more and more mistakes were released and changes, NCR would say, NRC, pardon me, would say one thing, and MedEd would issue a conflicting report. And as they started revealing the breakdown and what led to the crisis, as they announced one mistake after another, and it was a mistake here and a mistake there, it was a mechanical error, it was a human error, it was this and it was that, and as the communications got just more and more muddled.
Mm-hmm.
Did I trust or did I have faith?
Did you think that they were in control?
I felt, yeah. With I was glad they admitted it.
Yeah, that's true. They did. Looking back on it, do you think they were ever in control?
Yes, I would. I have to admit, I'm very hard on them, but I have to admit, they were in control. But I'm not. I don't have a lot of praise for their expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were in control because they brought in special people, first of all. MedEd has had a series of accidents there since the plant opened, so I question their ability to control the plant
mm-hmm.
that they built and operated for years. I question their ability, primarily, GPU and MedEd's ability to keep things under control. I think without federal government assistance, they wouldn't have been able to control it. But in view of the fact that they brought in the best people in the country and they stayed there, they, with their assistance, because of those people, they got it under control.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they're in control of the situation right now?
I would like to think so. I would like to think so. I'm getting like the other people. Yeah. I would like to think so, but I'm not 100% sure that they are.
Mm-hmm. Did you think about God during the incident?
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
I've thought about God a lot in recent times, recent being the past year or two, so I don't know if I thought about God anymore during that time or not.
Did you think he figured in the incident in any way?
As a major figure in...
Well, for example... So did you think God was using the incident at all to instruct mankind? Or
no.
Did he create the incident?
No, I didn't think that. Don't think that.
Do you think that he helped to calm the people down at all?
No.
Did you pray at all during the incident?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
I don't pray for answers from God. Mm-hmm. I don't pray for guidance, deliverance from emergencies, that kind of thing. I probably prayed. It would be so hard for me to explain my concept of God and religion. And it's hard to answer the questions without doing so. I try to simplify. I probably prayed for spiritual strength.
Mm-hmm.
And for a good, to achieve a good spiritual feeling. But I don't, my conception of God is not as a controlling,
okay,
singular figure who is in control of everything. I feel we have minds to control these things,
mm-hmm,
to control our existence.
Okay. At the time, did this event bring to mind any past experiences or past events?
Yes.
What ones?
I experienced personally a very traumatic incident, which was a fire. I went through a major fire,
mm-hmm,
8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the year after that, the flood Agnes, I did not go through that personally, but friends did. So it brought to mind those two incidences specifically.
Why those two?
Because the fire was the singular most destructive occurrence in my life. And because of the fire, I lost a home, mm-hmm, lost a house, my home, a house, everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I owned in the world was destroyed in 2 hours. So that was the reason for the parallel there. And then I saw other people lose everything they owned as a result of Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
So the three things symbolized an uncontrollable destructive force to me,
mm-hmm,
which was very frightening.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be. Did it remind you of any historical events?
Like Armageddon or something? No, I don't believe so. Oh, yes, of course it did. My gosh. I thought of the dropping of the atomic bomb by the United States in Japan,
mm-hmm,
and thought of Hiroshima. And I guess that sometimes I thought of Vietnam, too, the destruction that it had occurred in Vietnam. But I thought more so of the atomic bomb,
mm-hmm,
occurrence.
And why was that?
I guess because of the nuclear power, the connection with nuclear, uh-huh, power.
Okay. At the time, did you have any daydreams that you remember? Or any fantasizing?
Oh. I fantasized about a major evacuation. I fantasized about running an evacuation center here, because we were given detailed instructions that following Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I had more fantasies, but I can't recall them now.
Yeah. Could you describe your fantasy about the evacuation?
Well, I just pictured 4 lanes of traffic going out of Harrisburg in all directions, with people fleeing in their cars and trucks and vans.
Were you playing any role in it?
I was just one of the many participants.
Was there a lot of panic, or was it organized?
It was organized.
And what about the having this as an evacuation center?
Uh-huh.
Were you playing any major role in that?
I was one of 60 or 70 people who would staff the center.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw my role in that as similar to my role here right now.
Okay.
It would just be a continuation of my work, my job, in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I kind of, I was going to be on the telephone handle public information and man the telephone in the front office. So I saw a direct similarity between that and a job that I had one summer a couple years ago. In fact, after Agnes, I worked at the Small Business Administration in Harrisburg in public information. So it was just like going from that to here.
So you're actually drawing comparison there.
Mm-hmm. But I pictured what kind of work I was going to be doing.
Yeah.
Even though it was different, I had a picture in my mind of what I would be doing.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any sleeping dreams?
Oh. Boy, you know, I can't remember. I know I did, but I can't recall any dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I did because I dream 3 or 4 dreams every night, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's been a long time. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't.
Do you remember what type they would be if they were fearful?
I didn't have nightmares. I didn't have any nightmares, and I didn't have any fearful dreams related to Three Mile Island. I can't recall. So if I did have any dreams, they were just plain old average dreams.
Okay. Have you had any dreams since? More recently?
No.
Did it disturb your sleep at all?
I had one night, the Sunday night when I came back from Virginia, I didn't have a good night's rest. So it disturbed my sleep then.
Mm-hmm. Were you in Carlisle at that time?
No, I was in Harrisburg.
Okay.
I guess I had 1 or 2 nights of poor rest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did any radio show or TV show or movie come to mind?
Such as, what was Orson's show? What was Orson Welles' show? Radio show.
Oh.
I thought of that.
Was that the one with the Martians?
Yeah. When people panicked.
What
his
was
portrayal.
That
one? Oh gosh.
Oh no.
Gosh.
Do you ever get something in your mind you could be thinking of it for days?
I thought of that.
Uh-huh.
I thought of that. That was probably the only show I thought of.
Well, you were thinking of the panic?
Uh-huh. I was thinking of the prospect of people panicking.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought of Animal Farm.
Hmm. How did you relate the two?
I thought of people, a lot of people, as behaving as the sheep in Animal Farm. Just blindly following the TMI pigs.
Wow, that's a good one. Did you find yourself singing any songs?
Not that I can recall. I can't recall any.
Okay. What changes happened to the people around you during the incident?
My sister and brother-in-law fought a lot. They argued because of their tensions being high and having a lot of anxieties. It's typical for them to disagree on things. But with the increased anxieties, you know, the differences of opinions seem more pronounced and mm-hmm. more serious, more earth-shattering. So they had, I saw their relationship staggering mm-hmm. because of it. And I know of some other instances of people who were affected in a like manner,
mm-hmm.
argued with friends, neighbors, spouse. So they were affected, you know, negatively in that way.
Do you think it had any lasting effects on them?
I don't believe so. I don't know. It's hard to say, though. Could. In some cases, it could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm just thinking now. It's possible that a friendship or two ended because of it, or possibly a friendship began because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of two people consoling each other during the crisis and offering each other support. Perhaps some friendship started as a result of it. And many other things could have happened also. Those are just two examples.
Did you see people being brought closer together?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that was a lasting effect in general?
No, I think that's something that happens in disasters, when a disaster or an emergency hits. I think that's a natural thing for people to do, to band mm-hmm. together and to support and to help those in need. But I think it happens. It comes mm-hmm. out at a time of need.
Yeah.
And you don't see it every day because there's no need for it every day. That's not bad. You know, there's just no need.
Mm-hmm.
So they banded together when there was a need, and now they don't see the need, so they're not banding together.
Did it change you in any lasting way?
Yeah. As I said earlier, I've become one of the world's worst skeptics. I refuse to become cynical, but I am skeptical, and more so than I like being. I'm not comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be the main way it changed me. I always, earlier, after my fire, I had developed a different attitude and rearranged my valuing of material things. And so that kind of reinforced it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe made me stop and reevaluate, reassess my friends, my valuing of friends. And human contact and spiritual contact and so forth, as compared to, you know, valuing monetary and material possessions. So I guess I stopped a little bit and thought about that.
Yeah. Okay. What jokes did you hear about radiation or funeral?
Oh, my God. People were joking here like crazy Friday. I realize that's a natural outlet. What's it called? Black humor?
Yeah.
Something. And it's something people do when they're anxious. But I found it inappropriate. I found it distasteful.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of jokes. And I heard some of the disc jockeys making asinine jokes
mm-hmm.
on the radio. And it angered me.
So you weren't joking along with
me? No, I didn't joke too much. Maybe a little bit, because I thought once in a while, you know, Marcy, well, you know, loosen up a little bit. So I would try to because I'm naturally humorous. You know, I like a sense of humor and witty sayings and witty things, and I think that's very healthy, and it's a very important part of life and everyday living. But I didn't joke at the points when I was very, very, very frightened. I'm very concerned. I'm very mm-hmm. worried. I didn't joke at those times.
Did other people joke at the peak tension point?
Uh-huh. People here joked. Students and staff.
Can you remember any of the jokes, even
nope.
if you didn't like them?
No, I guess I repressed them. I can't remember any. Jokes about radiation. Oh, I'm trying to think of one I heard on the radio. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I hated them so much. I can't recall. Well, Saturday Night Live made a joke the first Saturday night after the incident. I guess it was March 31st. They were offering a prize to anyone who could name the next capital of Pennsylvania.
Mm, yeah.
And I didn't hear it that night, but I heard it a couple days after that. That's the only joke I can think of. I didn't think that was too funny
mm-hmm.
at that particular time. I think it's funny now, but I didn't think it was funny then.
No, you were too tense then to
mm-hmm.
think it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any joking from other crises?
No.
For example,
I don't remember people joking during Agnes. During the aftermath of Agnes. During the 6, 7, 8, 9 day period or afterwards. And I was caught up in that. I worked. Maybe mm-hmm. that's why, because I worked in a supporting agency, in a helping type agency. But I don't recall.
Do you know why? Why
no,
what the difference would be?
No, I'd be interested in knowing why.
No. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I better not, because I must get back